Psalm 127 says, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Jehovah. Like arrows in a warrior's hands, how joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them." Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll celebrates the beauty of God's plan for your family. And whether you're raising little ones or you're in the grandparenting stage, Psalm 127 reminds us that children are a blessing from God's hand, not a hardship. Let's resume the study that Chuck started yesterday, titled, Strengthening Your Grip on the Family.
Behold, children are, here's the first word, a gift of Jehovah. The next word is in the next line. The fruit of the womb is his reward. There's the third word. Like arrows in the hand of the warrior. There's the fourth word, arrows. So are the children of one's youth. Let's take them briefly but pointedly through these four words. Number one, children are a gift. The Hebrew word is an interesting, vivid term. It means possession or property. In verb form, it's used to assign or to share something with someone else, as you would assign a place to someone to sit. In other words, children, as viewed in verse 3, are God's property assigned to parents. Second, it reads, children are the fruit of the womb. Obviously, it conveys the idea of that which takes care and time and nurturing and cultivation. It suggests attention, not neglect. It suggests interest, not irritation. And it doesn't just happen. You and I never look at a well-trained child and think, my, isn't it amazing that just happened? We look quickly toward the parents and we often want to know, how did you do it? What's the secret? Each day you chisel and chip and work and use that trowel and lay that brick and set that wall and line it up and level it out. Each day you add to the project till someday you've launched into this society an adult person whom God calls his gift, the fruit of the womb, and his reward. Reward, isn't that significant to you? His property assigned for a temporary period of time, his reward. What role have you assigned your children? Not tax write-off, not another mouth to feed, not the result of God's anger on you because you walked away from him years ago. No. His reward. And fourth, it says they are like arrows, something to be pointed toward a certain target. And it's interesting to me that he doesn't just call them stones to be thrown into a pond. He calls them arrows from a quiver. Arrows. Ever tried a little archery on the side? Sportsman, it's a tough, tough skill. You can have a target the size of a king-size mattress about 25 feet out there, and you think you can hit that thing right in the middle. You're doing good to hit the fringe of the thing. And by the way, you don't make your arrows. You pull them from a quiver. You don't stay with the arrow. You release the arrow. And it goes toward a target, hopefully. That is the plan. And you don't kill someone else in the process. You send it on its way so that it strikes the mark. And that reveals skill, time, attention, the cultivation of the skill for which there is no school. And before you know it, you are rearing those children born into the home. Look at the very first verse of chapter 128. Back to square one. Here we are again in the fear of the Lord. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way. Now we're moving into the realm of training the children, and he says, you'll be blessed again. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands. Here again is the picture of the children. They're now growing, and the benefits are coming back to mom and dad. Some of the delightful experiences that you invested are now paying off. Some of the tough days when you stood your ground and you did not give in, then the benefits come. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. As you eat the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. That's great news for a father with three teenagers and one who thinks he is. That's me. And some of you with teenagers, and you and I were both told, just wait till they get to be teenagers. It's dreadful. It's awful. But it isn't. At least it hasn't been. For some reason, people give the idea that when a child turns 13, something green and slimy comes out of the swamp and just kind of grabs that kid around the throat and throws him to the mat and says, all right, now I'm taking over. No, what happens when teenage life comes and the adolescent years begin is you and I begin to be challenged as parents. Then somebody is almost as big, if not bigger, than we are, and they ask things like, why? And they want to rap about the reason you have always believed. Oh, that frankly is... those are some of the best memories of my life, and they will continue to be. Hard questions, good questions, questions that are asked to determine what do I really believe, but they don't know how to say it like that. So they say it another way. And it's also a time, adolescents who hear my words, when you determine whether or not you're a thankful person. A person who really does value Jesus Christ. Who doesn't adopt so much the standard of mom and dad, but the standard of God. You see, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around the table. That's a terrific thought. I don't know a lot about gardening or horticulture, but I know that vines that have fruit on them are very different from the olive tree, the olive plant. In other words, your wife will be a fruitful vine type, but your children will be like little transplanted olive shoots, different from you and from your mate. Men, you're not rearing people just like you. You're rearing people that are very different from you. And you see, the arrows came ready-made. You notice that? They are arrows that see things different than you. And by the way, not everybody has the same size quiver. Some quivers are just large enough for two, some for four. I was with Norm Nelson, the popular tenor gospel singer, and he has six children. And he said, after he sang one day and talked about his family, a father came up to him, looked a little beleaguered, and he said, I really wish we had six kids. That would be great. He said, really? How many do you have? He said, 11. 6 would be better. You know, your quiver may be big enough for 6. It may be big enough for 11. We have a family in our church who has 12 children. I can't imagine. I am so grateful my quiver is just holding 4. But people with 2 say, I am so thankful at just 2. And then in the preparation of life and the demonstrative process of putting those arrows toward the target, you find yourself releasing them. I said to my wife recently, when you finally get the child to the place where he's completely able to handle it all on his own, somebody else gets him. Isn't that amazing? Finally have someone that can really contribute to my home, and he's gone. He's going to marry somebody else. I love what Jay Kessler says about marrying your daughter off. He says, the only way I know to describe marrying a lovely daughter off to her groom is like taking a $250,000 Stradivarius violin and giving it to a gorilla. Isn't that fantastic? You stand at the altar, this gorilla takes your beautiful girl and runs out with her, you know. Oh, man. From the table scene of verse 3, you move to the launching pad of verse 4, and you find again that you're blessed. All the way through the Psalms, you're blessed, which is always in the plural in the Hebrew and always means happy many times over. Jehovah is in the center. Jehovah does the training through your life. Jehovah does the loving through your heart. Jehovah does the releasing. Then you are again happy many times over. You personally, who fears the Lord, you began to benefit from it personally. And then the scene changes in verse 5 to the civil world, the city in which you live. The Lord bless you from Zion, that's Jerusalem. And may he see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Why? Because you have contributed to Jerusalem's government. You have put a person in society that is respectable, wise, trained, under control, mature, growing, learning, authentic. Zion has prospered because of your work as a parent. And of all things, shalom envelops Israel. Verse 6, there's the national scene. Indeed, may you see your children's children, peace be upon Israel. I'm going to talk about it more for the men, especially as we deal with the problem of passivity. I'm gravely concerned about that, men. I feel at times, forgive the strong way to describe it, I feel that men have become virtually castrated today. I'm not thinking of a fool like an Archie Bunker type. I'm thinking of a man who is decisive, who is indeed the leader, the gracious leader, the pace setter of the home. The one who isn't afraid of the hard decisions, which includes little children needs and growing teenager needs. The leader who understands the mood of a wife. The one who earns her respect on a regular basis. The leader who, like Joshua says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve Jesus Christ. And it'll move in a direction that will be pleasant and delightful because he works on that. That's the scene of chapters 127 and 128. This is the era not of the preoccupied father, but the absentee father, whose world is his work. I remember the quote, we are a generation that worships our work. And we play at our worship, and we work at our play. It's all so strangely confused. While in the Seattle area a number of years ago, I met a young woman, very courageous woman, who was slugging it out on the streets of Seattle with a Christian organization working with homosexuals. She told me, and I wrote it down so as to never forget it, that 75% of the individuals they work with are from Christian backgrounds. And she doesn't give me a figure, but she says well over half of them lacked a strong father image in the home as a model of security and strength. Some of you find yourself victims of that, and you haven't chosen that. And God becomes in that way many times the father or your child. I really address these words to men who willfully and without any sense of biblical directives walk away from home and responsibility. And you may be a hotshot where you work. You may even be quoted in a six-digit figure in your salary. No one is impressed. You're needed where the bills come due. You're needed in the home. The wife of your life, the mother of your children, cries out 100 different ways saying, "Help me, please help me. The task is horrendous and I can't do it alone. I plead, if I could get on my knees and make it more effective, I would. I plead with the men to take their role that is God-given. I plead with you ladies in situations that you find yourself just at times at a loss to know how you can go on to walk very closely and sensitively with God and not let your passion direct you. In my opinion, the most difficult role to fill today is the role of the Christian woman who is gifted in a situation with a husband that doesn't know it and doesn't cultivate it, doesn't value it. The Girl Scout magazine entitled The American Girl, Vicky, aged 14, wrote this true story. It's called "That's the Way Life Goes Sometimes." When I was 10, my parents got a divorce. Naturally, my father told me about it because he was my favorite. By the way, it's interesting to me that she doesn't say I was his favorite. "Honey, I know it's been kind of bad for you these past few days, and I don't want to make it worse, but there's something I have to tell you, honey. Your mother and I got a divorce." "But Daddy..." "I know you don't want this, but it has to be done. Your mother and I just didn't get along like we used to. I'm already packed and my plane is leaving in a half an hour." "But Daddy, why do you have to leave?" "Well, honey, your mother and I can't live together anymore." "I know that, but I mean, why do you have to leave town?" "Oh, well, I got somebody waiting for me in New Jersey." "But Daddy, will I ever see you again?" "Sure you will, honey. We'll work something out." "But what? I mean, you'll be living in New Jersey, and I'll be living here in Washington. Maybe your mother will agree to you spending 2 weeks in the summer and two in the winter with me." "Well, why not more often?" I don't think she'll agree to 2 weeks in the summer and two in the winter, much less more." "Well, it can't hurt to try." "I know, honey, but we'll have to work it out later. My plane leaves in 20 minutes, and I've got to get to the airport. Now, I'm going to get my luggage, and I want you to go to your room so you don't have to watch me. And no long goodbyes either." "Oh, okay, Daddy. Goodbye. Don't forget to write." "Oh, I won't. Goodbye. Now go to your room." "Okay, Daddy. I don't want you to go." "I know, honey, but I have to." "Why?" "You wouldn't understand, honey." "Yes, I would." "No, you wouldn't." "Oh, well, goodbye." "Goodbye. Now go to your room. Hurry up." "Okay." "Well, I guess that's the way life goes sometimes." "Yes, honey. That's the way life goes sometimes." After my father walked out the door, I never heard from him again. May we bow together. It's a hard thing to hear, ladies and gentlemen. It's a hard thing to say. God put it together so beautifully, and we have fouled it up so royally. Oh, thank God there are some exceptions. I talked today to some of you who could say back to me, "We've never been happier. Our family has never been closer. Thank the Lord. Even though we're struggling with some difficulties, we are together." And I say to you, if that is true, give God the praise. Even in single-parent families, give God the praise. Even with daddies that walked out, your mom has stayed. Or with moms that walked out, your dad stayed. Give God praise. Yes, I'm a sentimentalist. But more than that, I see the role of an expositor as someone to make us aware of the text, and then to challenge us with the meaning of it in our lives. I know I'm talking to some people who have been thinking about leaving. There's too many of you out there for me to deny that. I want to tell you that your kids will never get over it. No, they'll survive, but they'll never get over it. There are some big kids that I spend some of my time with, and they're still not over it. And there are men that are 50, and some of them top men in their companies. There are mothers that are trying to get a handle on lives, and they're very capable women. But that parent left. Home disintegrated. We're seeing it happen in our own neighborhood at a very dear little family. The process of 7, 8, 9 years disintegrating. If you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then that's a major reason why you cannot put it together. You're lost. You have no roadmap. You have no power to say no. You have no help when you're alone and you make those decisions. You have nothing undergirding that decision maker. No wonder you can't be all man or all woman or all whoever you're called to be in your role in life. Right where you're sitting today, right now, you can come to know peace and a new direction. And I'm pleased to say forgiveness for those foolish and wrong things of the past. A clean slate to start over. Hope to go on. Power to go back and say, I'm wrong, please forgive me. Authenticity enough to look at your mate or look at your friend now and say, this is the real truth I never told you before. We have counselors who sit with folks just like you as long as you need to sit there and pray and talk to help you come to terms with eternal life. You are now responsible for what you've heard. And I plead with you today not to turn it off. God will not let you rest till you respond. Maybe you're a Christian and you need somebody to talk to. The burden's so heavy that you cannot seem to handle it yourself. Again, the counselors are there for you. People waiting to talk with you today. Lord God, I thank you for the way you say things to us. And I am even grateful for the way you repeat them. Some of these things have been said before, just in a little different way, but today it seems like they have come across to strike at the heart of where we are. My heart goes out to the Vickies of this world, but no more than yours does, who this day try to put together the reasons unsuccessfully. I pray that you would undergird those very faithful, loving parents as they do the hard job without any support from the media and with so little help from others. In the lonely confines of the home, I pray that you would bring strength to stay true, to walk in the Spirit, to follow your guidance. I pray you would make this meeting extremely significant, that you would use it as a life-changing part of this day to alter thinking, which ultimately alters actions. Now unto him who is able to guard us from stumbling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, in authority, now and forevermore. And all the people said, Amen.
And with Chuck Swindoll's closing prayer, we conclude his 16-part study called Strengthening Your Grip. I want to remind you that Chuck has written a brand new booklet called Worthy is the Lamb. It's a quick read and something you'll want to share with a friend or perhaps with a family member. Chuck believes that nothing will elevate your spiritual walk, and in fact, every day of your life, any higher than keeping Jesus, the Lamb of God, your central focus. And in this brief devotional from Chuck, you'll be inspired to do that each day. We'd be pleased to send you a copy when you make a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living. Just address your donation to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. To request the booklet by phone, you can call us at 800-772-8888 or go directly to insight.org/donate. You know, your contributions truly make a difference. Let me give you an example. One person wrote this: some 40-odd years ago, on a radio in South Africa, I heard the first sounds of Insight for Living and Chuck Swindoll. I have been greatly blessed, inspired, and taught by this wonderful servant of God. And now you're a constant companion and guide as I soon step into retirement. I wipe the tears from my eyes as I consider myself privileged to have listened, read, and learned for more than four decades. You know, if you're a person who supports Insight for Living, you played a significant role in reaching this grateful friend. And your contributions continue to be so important. Remember, when you give, be sure to request Chuck's booklet, Worthy is the Lamb. You can do that by calling us at 800-772-8888 or write to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. You can also give online at insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer. Join Chuck Swindoll next time when he introduces a biographical study called Paul, a Man of Grace and Grit. That's Thursday on Insight for Living. The preceding message, Strengthening Your Grip on the Family, was copyrighted in 1981, 1985, 1989, 1995, 2014, and 2024. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.